You're listening to a special Access Utah on this Friday. Now, we normally don't have the Access Utah show on Friday, but big news came out yesterday. Outdoor Industry Association has announced, after a lot of speculation and previous threats, that they will indeed, after next year, pull out of Salt Lake City for their outdoor retailer show. Some estimates put the annual loss to Utah at about $50 million annually, and that's just the direct revenue that flows in from the show. According to the Deseret News, here's what Paul Edwards, Governor's Deputy Chief of Staff, said. It smacks of gross ingratitude to a community that's embraced the outdoor retailer show, subsidizing its success and expansion through direct investment, let alone extraordinary hospitality. And we're asking you what you think about this. Are Governor Herbert and Utah Republicans right in expressing caution about expansion of federal role in public land management in Utah? Is this the right move by the Outdoor Industry Association, moving the outdoor retailer show out of Utah? What's best for the economies of the areas adjacent to national parks and monuments? Is it tourism, outdoor recreation? Is it extractive industries? Is it some blend of the two? Can the two coexist? And where the better jobs come from? You know, what about farmers and ranchers, some of those traditional industries? We bring in with us now Stephen Trimble, a writer and a photographer, and has been on the program many times before. I appreciate you coming back on.
Hi, Tom. I'm glad to be here.
We have many emails to get to. We have a couple of callers. First of all, give you a chance to give your general reaction to this news.
Well, my general reaction starts with facts. These are not this is not fake news. These are not alternative facts. But you know, the facts are that we have extraordinary public lands in Utah, and they do not belong to the state of Utah. Those public lands belong to everyone. And we have recognized their value nationally with the designation of Grand Staircase and Bears Ears. That's all. Those are all facts. And the other fact is that the Republicans who are in charge of official Utah don't really want to admit to those facts. They believe that Bears Ears and Grand Staircase are classic examples of too much regulation from the federal government, even though those lands don't belong to the state of Utah. And they insist that all those lands should be turned over to the state. And so you have two differing sets of values. And the outdoor retailers are clearly the voice of national interests in public lands. They are a huge industry, you know, generating billions of dollars across the country and millions of dollars in Utah because of our extraordinary public lands. That's why people come here. And so the insistence of angry antagonism toward public lands by the Republicans who we elect to be in charge of our local government is anathema to the people that love public lands and come to the state to use them and recreate them in them and love them. And so the question really is, what is the best strategy by the outdoor retailers to counteract those just antagonistic, angry, wrong attitudes from official Utah? They've spent years threatening to leave and using that as a political weapon, and didn't really get very far with that to change the minds and values and positions of official Utah. So in the end, they said, okay, we're going to leave. We're going to go to a state that values their public lands. And that's the decision, and that's the strategic decision, and I hope that the people who are in charge of our political system in Utah listen to that and understand the consequences.
Let's go to Jared in Cedar City. Jared, glad you called. Welcome to the program.
Well, thanks for taking my phone call. Hey, I actually really just have a question. It's not like these outdoor rec programs or these outdoor rec big shows are just, you know, all of a sudden decided, okay, now we can't. They threatened this earlier when these decisions first came out. So what does the state stand to gain, or what does the federal government stand to gain from turning these public lands into federal lands or national monuments? And I guess I'll just take my answer offline.
Okay, thanks, Jared. Your response to that, Mr. Trimble?
Well, sure. The federal government is not changing the ownership of land. You know, Bears Ears National Monument is public land. All the land within those boundaries, almost all of the land has been public land for decades and decades and decades. Tiny bit of private land. The state lands can be traded out for BLM land elsewhere, as we did at Grand Staircase Escalante. You know, there's no land grab here. It's simply a change in designation that allows us to protect the phenomenal resources within Bears Ears better if we fund the National Monument. The National Monument designation gives us the chance to create a new management plan working with the tribes of the Intertribal Coalition. You know, the whole impetus for that National Monument came out of the tribes. The tribes identified lands outside reservation boundaries on public lands as just being rich with sacred sites for at least 30 tribes who have walked that country. And they went into the Public Lands Initiative in good faith to try to talk about how to protect those lands. They weren't listened to by Congressman Bishop and Congressman Chaffetz. So they went to the president, and the president changed the designation. But what does the federal government plan to get out of this? Really what they're doing is demonstrating an enormous amount of respect to the tribes and creating something bold and new, a national monument unlike any other that can be managed in cooperation with the tribes. And so it's really about the people. It's not about the federal government.
Oh, we next go to Daniel, who has called us. Daniel, glad you called. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, so go ahead.
I'm from Utah. And okay. Growing up there, I was near a lot of national parks, and having a family, we have a small business down there, and we thrive. We thrive off of the tourism and all the people that come out here and see our beautiful country and see our beautiful state.
Your business... Your family business thrives, you say, because of the tourism.
Yes, we rely heavily on tourism. We're in a location close to parks. You gain a lot, you get a lot from it, and especially when the government shut down a few years back, that was a nervous time for us. We didn't know what was coming, and it's going to be a little scary now seeing what's going on if we lose a lot of our industry.
So, Daniel, can I follow up? Your family business benefits, you say, from probably benefits from, you know, the national parks and monuments close by, increases outdoor recreation and tourism. Do you have, I don't know if you have friends, people live nearby, or maybe in more traditional industries like ranching, who have a different viewpoint down there?
Yeah, they, from what I understand from them, they also agree with my kind of viewpoint on it. They see what we get and what we gain from all the tourism, and it also benefits them from getting people out and getting out near there.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Daniel, glad you gave us your experience. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Someone who's living that right now in his family business depends on this, apparently. Let's go to, and by the way, you can call us as well, 800-826-1495, 800-826-1495, or email us to upraxcess@gmail.com. Outdoor Industry Association's pulling their outdoor recreation retailer show out of Utah. What do you think? We have with us writer and photographer Stephen Trimble. Next we go to Carl. Carl says, I love Southern Utah. I spent a lot of my youth in the national parks and surrounding areas. I've always been disappointed on having our state government views on state government views on public lands. Who stands to gain from selling lands for oil and mining development? It's the county commissioners and the rest of the officials in the area, not the citizens of Utah. I certainly don't blame the ODR for leaving. Since we are in a one-party state, how do the rest of us get our voices heard? Our elected leaders don't care. That's from Carl. Let me follow up on Carl's comment, Stephen Trimble. We had a caller earlier, I don't know if you heard him, Mark and Logan. He suggests a boycott. He says OII has shown great leadership in doing this. That's inspired him to move his recreation dollars to other states. Chairman Caroon disagreed with that. He said, keep your dollars in the state and get your elected officials else how. Stephen Trimble, what do you think?
Well, I agree with Peter Caroon. You know, we want to eventually try to convince the elected leaders that we have now, exactly what Daniel just said, that this is good for the economy. You know, there are wonderful studies from Headwaters Economics up in Bozeman that have proven really very clearly that counties with protected lands do better than counties without protected lands in the rural West. Their economies are better. Their population is more stable. You know, the real problem is that this is really dry country. Utah is the second driest state and has the second highest percentage of public lands, and there's a direct correlation there. You know, we're never going to have lots of people living in those little tiny towns in southern Utah. There isn't enough water. There isn't enough in the way of the sort of classic resources that generate economic growth. What we can hope for is a vital economy based on the people that come from all over the world to those places. There's no other place like the Colorado Plateau. There's no other place like the Utah Canyon Country. And we take it for granted because it's in our state, but it's unique. Truly, I use that word very carefully. It is unique on the planet. And those public lands happen to be right across the Four Corners. And I really think that the economy of the future is going to be based on people learning more and more about how to value and treasure those places. And, you know, we can learn a lot from what the tribes have said in the Bear's Ears story. I urge everyone to search out the proclamation of Bear's Ears National Monument online. The Obama administration just did a beautiful job of capturing why that place is so special and really why Southern Utah is so special and why it's a draw for tourists.
By the way, alert listeners, we'll be going longer than top of the hour. We'll give you plenty of time to weigh in. We want to know what you're thinking, and you can call 800-826-1495 or email us to upraccess@gmail.com. And our next caller up is Glenn in Roosevelt. Glenn, glad you called. Go ahead with your question or comment.
How are you doing today?
Doing well.
I work in the oil field, and I've emailed in a few times to the show here and there. But my big thing is there's a lot of talk about regulation stymieing oil field, and I'm sitting on a location right now at work. I will admit that I'm sitting on a location on a Forest Service lease that was drilled about 2.5 years ago, and you know we are subject to regulation. We have not had to deal with the attainment, they call it, or non-attainment with the environmental, but my company has been way ahead of the curve. They've been proactive in trying to get ready for that, and they've not realized a significant cost that has been prohibitive towards our industry here. I mean, it's a pain in the butt. Everybody dislikes change. Everybody dislikes the fact that we've got to put in a certain amount of regulatory controls and systems, but we end up doing it, and we stay ahead of the curve, and we can deal with it. It's not been a problem. I mean, we deal with the sage grouse. We have this location that I'm sitting on right now. I cannot go on until after 10 o'clock in the morning starting next month because of the sage grouse, and we've worked through it. It's not been a problem, and I don't get the whole argument that this has been a problem with regulation. I've been dealing in oil fields for almost 25 years, and I'm not seeing that. And I don't see a problem with multi-use. I don't like it. It's not perfect, but that's part of the beauty of it. It doesn't work perfectly for everybody, but it also allows everybody at least something. It's about the ultimate compromise, in my opinion.
Well, thanks, Glenn. Appreciate that. Appreciate your experience.
Can I say one thing?
Yes.
The most liberal oil field worker in the world.
You might be.
If you've ever read any of my posts or anything,
yes.
You know, and I'm sure Tom's got that feeling. But anyway, that being said.
That's a good perspective, though, from the oil industry, albeit from the most liberal member of that industry. Stephen Trimble, what do you think about it? He says multi-use wouldn't be his complete first choice, but he works in the oil industry. He says that these industries can coexist, at least in some places.
Well, I want Glenn to run for county commissioner, maybe Congress. And certainly I wish he would have been at the table during the discussions for the Public Lands Initiative. You know, there is common ground out there. And I think we could take people from the conservation world, and we could take people from the Ute Indian tribe, and we could take Forest Service and Environmental Protection Agency folks out and sit around that well site that Glenn is working on together and find an awful lot more common ground than we can when we're all yelling at each other in the halls of the U.S. Capitol or the Utah State Capitol. The common ground exists on the land. And frankly, I was really delighted to hear what Glenn had to say. You know, there are places that are not as special as other places. You know, we should not drill for oil in the middle of the Indian ruins of Cedar Mesa. But there are areas that we have sacrificed, and there are places in the Uinta Basin that have been so heavily developed, we could continue to develop there. And the federal lands, the public lands within Grand Staircase that were traded out, now there's a sea of continuous public land across the boundaries of Grand Staircase, and we blocked up some lands elsewhere for Sitla to generate money from. And they do that by drilling in places that are already drilled, and they had a block of land right on the Arizona border that they sold to a high-end resort. Sitla does better when they were able to block up those lands, and they will do better when we're trading out lands from Bears Ears. So hurrah for Glenn.
We're going to take a break, and we'll extend this into the next hour. Stephen Trimble, I don't know if you're able to stay. I don't know what your schedule is.
I can stay. I'm actually calling you from the middle of nowhere at Petrified Forest National Park.
So oh, well.
As long as our cell phone service continues, I'll be on the line.
All right. Very appropriate. Calling from some public lands. Stephen Trimble, writer and photographer. And you can find him at stephentrimble.net, is it, Stephen?
That's correct.
You can find his books there, and you probably know his books, and we're grateful that he's on with us. So we're going to take a break. We'll have station identification. Then we'll come back and continue this into at least a part of the next hour. You're listening to a special edition of Access Utah. We're responding to the Outdoor Industry Association's decision to pull their outdoor retailer show out of Utah. We're talking about public lands, economies in these areas adjacent to national parks and monuments. Anything else you'd like to say, we'd love to get your question or comment. And we'll have more following this break.